Well, good morning. Thanks for coming out, guys. It's going to be a really different kind of sermon today, but I promise you'll never forget this one. And Chris, my friend Chris is here today. Is this your first time with us? Yeah, you're going to think I'm nuts here, but welcome to the club, because everybody else already thinks that. So, as there's going to be some slides that come up with some people in the room, and I always ask permission from the people involved before I put them up, so just so you know, just so you're aware of that. So one of the duties that a pastor is called to perform is to teach you guys, the congregation, how to live lives biblically. And it's a really daunting challenge with everything that goes on in the world. So I'm going to start with an illustration. How many of you guys ever been to a track meet? Anybody? Okay. The 30 men, right? 100 to 800 hurdles, right? 30 men in is the hurdles. You put up the first slide, Zach. This is Rachel. Now, the way they run this, the girls run first and then the guys run second. Again, a couple of things I want you to notice about this. First of all, her form is absolutely flawless, and I mean that with all. The goal is to get as close to the hurdle as you can without going over it. And so the girls run first, but then when the girls are done, they bring the people on the track team out, and they have to take the hurdles. You see the hurdles back here? You see the notches in here? They take these hurdles off. Well, they bring in the team, and they raise all these hurdles from here up to here. So now the hurdle is going to be up about here. And so the guys come out and they run the high hurdles. Next slide, please, Zach. So this is Sabrina. Sabrina runs hurdles too. Now, you can start to see the problem here. If Sabrina, she's getting ready to clear this hurdle. She actually does a pretty good job. She actually clears it about here. But the boys' hurdle is up about here. So you can start to see where the problem comes in. Okay, it's not an easy thing. And I say that because I have hurdles that I have to go over to get you guys where I want you to be. The church in America today, one of the biggest hurdles that pastors face is trying to convince people that Jesus isn't just our Savior, He's our Lord. And if He's not your Lord, He's not your Savior. It's a hard thing for people to get. He's worthy of our praise, and He's worthy of our thanks every minute of every day. He loves us. He loves you deeply every moment of every day. Psalm 92, verse 1, part B. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. What's it say? It's good to give thanks to the Lord. Here's the problem. We base how we feel, how we think God feels about us on how we're feeling on a particular day. If everything's going great, boy, God really loves me today. And if we're having a bad day where things went wrong from the time you got up to the time you go to bed, boy, God must really hate me today. And that's how what we base our, how God looks at us, we base that on how we look at God. And that's simply not true. So with Thanksgiving coming up in just a couple of days, I thought I'd give you guys some things to be thankful for. And I bet it's things that nobody in this room has ever given a second thought to. There's a group called Hawk Nelson, and a crazy name. I do research into these names. They got the name because the lead singer, Jason Dunn, was a big Tony Hawk fan, and you guys know who Tony Hawk is, skateboarder, okay? And in his hometown, they had a shoe repair store called Nelson Shoe Repair, so they just combined the two names, and that's how they came up with it. But anyway, they wrote a song, and the song is called Thank God for Something. Anybody ever heard it? Mama always said to me, the very best medicine is gratitude. It's not what you don't have, but what you do. I must admit that I forget that life's a gift. Hey, Mama, gonna change my attitude. So let's start with things we don't think about, except as they factor into our appearance. And for this next slide, thank you, Zach. Texted Zach about midnight or 12:30 last night with this. I'm like, Zach, I forgot to add a slide. Can you put it in? And so he had to rearrange everything from this point down to get this in for me. So thank you, Zach. You're awesome, man. So first thing we're going to do, can you bring up the next slide? Who is it? Caroline. Caroline's pretty eyes. So we're going to talk about eyelashes. You ever thank God for your eyelashes? They serve a whole bunch of important things. How much time and money do women, especially, sometimes guys, not the guys I hang out with, but sometimes guys, how much time and money do they spend to get their eyelashes to look like this? Now, I could have used Veronica or Sabrina. They both have really long eyelashes like this, but I was going through in Caroline's first one I came to here. But the point is, the only time we pay attention to our eyelashes is to make ourselves more visually appealing, right? But it turns out they have several important functions. The main function that they have is to keep dirt and dust and sand and pollen out of our eyes. And they're very sensitive. They're actually the most sensitive part on the human body, your eyelashes. When something touches your eyelash, it'll force you to blink. And the reason it does that is because when you blink, your eye gets rid of whatever was caught in your eyelash. They also, your eyelashes, direct water and sweat away from your eyes. Now, that doesn't sound like such a big deal, but if you're in the gym and you've been on the treadmill for 25 minutes and you start sweating, see what happens? That sweat doesn't come down here into your eyes, it goes over here. And that's why you see it running down the corner of people's faces. If you're caught in a rainstorm, if you didn't have eyelashes, you wouldn't be able to see. Did you ever give God thanks for your eyelashes? I never have. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Why should we give thanks to God? Because we're having a great day? Because we got an A on that test? Because we got the job promotion we wanted? What if you're having an awful day? What if you got a C on that test? What if you got passed over for the job promotion you wanted? When are we to give God praise? What's it say? When are we to give thanks to God? Why are we to give it to him? For he is good. Listen, it's not based on how we feel. It's not based on the kind of day we're having. It's not based on our grades, our actions, our rewards. It's not based on anything. Whether you got an A or a C, whether you're having a good day or a bad day, whether you got the job or you got passed over for the job, God is still good. And he wants and he deserves our thanksgiving. Next lyric, Zach, please. If you got a lot or a lot of nothing, go ahead and thank God for something. You're going to see the good if you're good at looking. So go ahead and thank God for something. Okay, you ready? I bet you nobody in here has ever thanked God for their eyelids. Anybody ever thank God for their eyelids? It's amazing what these things do. You couldn't function without your eyelids. All we know about our eyelids is we close them to sleep at night. Why do we do that? Make it dark, right? Here's the thing about your eyelids. I could stare at that light for a few seconds and I have to take my eyes away, but if I close my eyes, I could stare at that light all day. It's just a thin, teeny, tiny piece of skin. But it protects your eyes. But it does that in a whole bunch of different ways. Without your eyelids, you'd most likely go blind very quickly. Your eyelids serve, the main purpose is to keep your eyes moist. But they do it in ways that I know you guys hate that word. They do that in a more amazing way than what we think. When we blink, you blink to release tears over your eyes. And you do that constantly to keep your eyes hydrated. And I'm going to show you guys why that's so important. Can you bring up the next slide, Zach, please? This is a rather small magnification of a human eye. You can still see the eye around here, but you could already see the nooks and the crannies in the eye. This is what your eye actually looks like. Okay, it's not a smooth surface like we think it is. Can you go to the next slide, please, Zach? Magnifying it even more, this is what your eye looks like. So here's what happens when you blink. When you blink, your eyelids release tears over your eyes. And what they do is they fill in all these nooks and crannies so that you can see clearly. It's kind of like picture having a bucket of rocks, and the bucket's about half full, and you start putting water in, and the water fills in all those nooks and crannies between all the rocks, and then by the time it gets to the surface, it's nice and smooth. That's what your eyelids do for your eyes. If you didn't have eyelids and they didn't do that, all these things, when you woke up the next day, you'd feel like you had sand in your eyes. It's amazing what eyelids do. When you sleep at night, your body goes into a paralysis state when you're in a deep sleep. It does that for several reasons. One, so that you won't fall out of bed at night. The other is so you don't hit your spouse not thinking about it. Okay, but you go into paralysis at night. And one of the things that happens is your eyelids are paralyzed too, which is why they close when we sleep. Because if they were open, your eyes would dry out. And you'd wake up in the morning, you'd have all kind of stuff inside your eyes. That's the purpose of eyelids. Listen, that system works on your very best day and on your very worst day. That still works. And that's something worth giving God thanks for. Because he created that for us. Psalm 9, verse 1. I will thank the Lord with all my heart. I will declare your wondrous works. Are you starting to see his wondrous works that we take for granted every day? Without eyelashes and eyelids, we'd all be blind. All of us. And not over a matter of years, over a matter of days. That's how great God is. Next song lyrics, Zach, please. We have a lot or have a little, it's really nothing new. Happiness should never be a slave to revenue. Can you bring up the next picture slide, Zach? It'll be black and white. Okay, here we have a picture I took. I want you to notice some things about this picture. Everything we need is in this picture. See, here's where the sun's coming up. How do we know? Because that's the brightest part of the picture. Okay, whenever you take a picture, the brightest part's always going to be where the sun's coming up. So we could see that. We could tell that some planes have come through. If you look closely, there's some contrails from planes. Okay, so we know the planes have recently flown through. If you look closely here, we could see that it's wintertime. No leaves on the trees. Down here in front, this is telling you, here's the land right here. It's telling us you don't want to walk much further or you're going to fall in a lake. So everything we need to know is right there in that picture. Everything. Can you bring up the next slide, Zach? Look how much different it looks here. Isn't it amazing? There is no more information in that picture than there was in the black and white picture. It's the same picture. I just took the color out of it. By the way, I don't add color to pictures. That's the way, and I tell you that because that's the way God made that morning look. Next slide, please, Zach. Same thing here. What can we tell by looking at this picture? We tell you, here's the sun. Sun's coming up. Okay? It's a little bit later in the morning. How do we know? Because all the mist has already burned off the lake, and pretty soon these clouds are going to go. The sun's going to, it burns the mist off. The mist comes up, turns into clouds, and they're going to burn off. Okay? So that's going to go away. We could tell it's winter. We could tell it's winter here because we have streaks from the ice that is starting to form on the pond. So everything we need to know is in that picture. Everything we need to know to survive. Okay, go ahead and put the next one up, please, Zach. How much more enjoyable is it to look like at like that? It's a lot prettier picture, isn't it? What would you rather be able to see, like that or in black and white? Now you can really see the ice starting to form on the pond and things, but all the information was contained in the black and white picture that our brains needed to know for us to survive. Next slide, please, Zach. Same thing, pretty boring, bland picture. Okay, but if we're out driving and all we can see is in black and white, this tells us things, okay? It tells us there's a rise coming up on the road, so we need to slow down, Barb. It could tell. Barb and I are out driving. And the car gets on Barb's tail, and Barb doesn't like that, so Barb decides to, she's going to go a little bit faster, and we come up over some railroad tracks like this. And Barb has a pretty high rate of speed, and we get airborne, and then, boom, we come crashing down. So I took my car in last week, And the guy goes, you know your ball bearings are cracked? I'm like, yeah, and I know how that happened. So anyway, that's where that story comes from. But we can see over here on this side of the road, there's a sign we don't want to hit. And over here, there's a whole bunch of telephone poles that we don't want to hit. Right? Everything we need to know is in that picture. Next slide, please, Zach. But look at it when we look at it like this. See, something else comes into play here. Now emotion comes into play. Now we know that it's late evening. You may be driving home after a game or after a long day at work. Mom and dad have dinner on the stove waiting for you. You start adding emotion to things with color. Here's the thing. We don't need to see in color. It serves no purpose. It serves no purpose as far as our survival goes. It is simply something that God gave us for our enjoyment. That's it. That's the only purpose seeing in color serves. Do you ever thank God for the ability to see in color? Listen, he does that because he loves us and he wants us to enjoy the life that he gave us. So if you run out of things to thank God for, how about thanking him that your eyes see in color? Now, Hunter, I know the colors aren't always the way. Hunter's colorblind, so they didn't always match up. But next, lyrics, if you have them, Zach. We were debating whether to put the lyrics up or not. In the wonder, in the heartache, in the good times, in the mistakes, no matter what I'm going through, I can always say thank you. When the blessings are in disguise, let gratitude open my eyes. It's going to get weirder. Who likes eating? Who doesn't like eating? Let me put it like that. Who doesn't like eating? Okay, what if I told you that right outside that door is a delicious meal prepared just for you? Has everything you need. It's nutritious. It will fight disease. It'll keep you healthy. It'll fill you up. Here's a picture of it. Can you put the next slide up, Zach? That's it. That's all you need to survive right there. Doesn't look too appealing. You guys, who wants a plate full of grass for lunch today? Anybody? Okay, next slide, please, Zach. How about this? More like it? Now your mouth starts watering. You can hear the sizzle. You can smell the steak cooking, right? It's awesome, right? It's delicious. It will fill you up. It'll make you happy. You know why eating makes you happy, by the way? It's the same thing as working out. It releases endorphins into your body. Endorphins lift your spirit and make you feel good. That's why eating is so enjoyable. But listen, here's the thing. Why would you choose the steak over the grass? Do foods have to taste different for us to survive? Next slide, please, Zach. Listen, this guy does just fine eating grass, and he seems to be enjoying it. Now listen, God could have made our digestive systems just like that cow. So what purpose do taste buds serve? They serve no purpose as far as our survival is concerned. We could live on grass. Listen, taste buds were simply a gift given to us because God loves us. And he wants us to enjoy our life. That's their only purpose. Next lyrics, please. If you've got a lot or a lot of nothing, go ahead and thank God for something. You're going to see the good if you're good at looking. So go ahead and thank God for something. Okay, you guys ready? You are never going to forget this sermon the rest of your lives. A comedian named Gallagher, some of you guys that are my age remember Gallagher. Gallagher asked this question once, why do armpits stink? Has it ever come in handy? Turns out it does. See, there's sweat glands cover our entire bodies, and they serve distinct purposes. When the sweat glands under your arms are different than the sweat glands on the rest of your body. When you smell, it's because of good bacteria. And what that bacteria is doing, it is destroying the bad bacteria that collects on our bodies in dark and wet areas. And so when your armpits have an odor, That's the bacteria destroying the harmful bacteria so that they can't get into your system and kill you. So it actually serves a purpose. So why sweat at all? What's the purpose of sweating? There's actually a whole bunch. You have over 4 million sweat glands in your body. There's only one place on your skin without sweat glands. Does anybody know what it is? Anybody want to take a guess? Anybody? Your lips. It's the only place on your body without sweat glands. Most people know that sweat regulates your body temperature. That's its main job, okay? But it also sends salt. When you sweat, it releases salt, not only on the outside, you can taste it, it releases salt back into your body. And what that does is it solidifies your body, it helps your defense system, it helps you to fight diseases inside your body, and it helps to detoxify your body. That's why we sweat. For those of you who are active, if your body didn't work like this, see, you when you are playing basketball, you girls, or volleyball, you guys that play, or running, and somebody asked Olivia, I think it was Mike, would you rather run in the cold, because they pushed the cross-country meet back, would you rather run in the cold like this or on a warm day? And she said a cold day. And the reason is because after she's gone that first mile, her body starts getting really hot. And then she starts sweating to cool it back down. Listen, if she didn't start sweating, her body would keep getting hotter and hotter and hotter. She'd go into heat stroke and she would eventually die. If you guys didn't sweat, you've been on the basketball court for about 20 or 30 seconds, your body temperature would keep getting hotter and hotter and you would have to immediately go to the bench to take a rest. That's what sweat does. Sweat is released by your adrenal glands, by the way, and it occurs when you place any type of external stimulation upon the body. The sweat glands in your face and on your head, they release a different kind of sweat. The sweat on your face and your head are oily. Now, the reason they do that is to keep it waterproof. Now, they usually do this earlier in your life. As you go into and transition out of puberty, your sweat glands are releasing more oil, which is why teenagers are more likely to have acne. Be patient, you will outgrow it, because as you get older, those sweat glands no longer are producing oil. The problem is, once you transition out of that, because you're not getting your face moisturized with oil, is you start getting wrinkles. So it's kind of a no-win situation. But be patient, you outgrow it. So here's the thing, why are we talking about sweat in church? Listen, because it's a gift from God, and if you didn't sweat, you'd die. Actually, you'd have been dead a long, 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 long time ago if you didn't sweat. It's a gift from God. Did you ever thank God for sweating? I never did. The New American Standard Bible, the most accurate version in my opinion, says 164 times to give thanks to God or to be thankful for who God is and what he does. 164 times. Listen, you ever thank God for your white blood cells? Anybody? See, these cells are amazing. Without your white blood cells, you would have survived maybe a couple hours outside of mommy's womb when you were born. None of us would exist, which does away with evolution. Okay? We'd all die the instant we were born without your white blood cells. They do amazing things. Okay? They fight disease, and here's how they do it. It's amazing how God created white blood cells. They fight disease like this. They are constantly circulating in your body, and they read the proteins on every cell in your body. And they differentiate between the healthy cells, the healthy proteins, and invading germs. And when they detect that the proteins on these germs are different from the proteins on your own body cells, they form a little army unit and they get together and they get rid of the germs. And that's why Julie could stay healthy with a bunch of kids rubbing their noses in her class all day long, 180 days out of the year, because of white blood cells. They have two methods of doing this. They either surround and devour the germ, eat it, literally feed on it, or they release T and B lymphocytes, which produce antibodies to destroy them. And it has to be two different kinds, because the white blood cell, it doesn't just attack things in your body, but it can differentiate between, is this a germ invading my body, or is this a virus invading my body? And your white blood cells instantly make that determination and work to get those things out of your body. Red blood cells are unique too. Ever thank God for your red blood cells? We think red blood cells do one thing. What is it? Carry oxygen throughout your body. Turns out they do a whole lot more than that. Red blood cells make up between 40 and 45% of the cells in your body. And they're amazing things. See, what happens is when you breathe in, red blood cells from your lungs take that oxygen and voom, instantly it's all over the rest of your body. If it didn't do that, you couldn't exist. But it does something even more amazing than that. Once it's carried oxygen to your body, to your extremities, to your toes and your fingers and everything, it comes back, they come back into the lungs. And what they do when they come back into the lungs is they're taking all the carbon dioxide that you breathe in when you breathe in oxygen, and they take that back to the lungs so that when you breathe out, the carbon dioxide leaves your body. See, carbon dioxide's poisonous. You would die if your red blood cells didn't do that. It's amazing how God has created these things to work for us. Red blood cells grow in your bone marrow. They're released into the bloodstream. So if you want something to be thankful for, how about that your red blood cells are working and your white blood cells are working? Because listen, for a lot of people they don't. It's what leukemia is. Their cells are out of whack, their blood cells. Can you play, Deb? Here's the thing. Kind of been a strange sermon, I get it. More information than church. Except this. I could do this for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks nonstop. We could do it with the human body, with plants, with animals, with the earth we stand on, with our solar system, with the sun, with the position of the planets. Miracle after miracle after miracle that we take for granted every day. You want to thank God for something? All you have to do is look. Listen, to be thankful is this. Take our minds off of us and put our minds on Him. And when you do that, you'll start to become thankful. God's done a lot of things for us, guys. But what if you're blind and you can't see? Or you can only see in black and white? What if you have food allergies and you can't enjoy steak and bread and things like that? What if your blood cells are out of whack and you have leukemia? What if your spouse walked out on you? What if your health is failing? What do I have to be thankful for then, Brian? You want to tell me? Okay. How about this? Next slide, Zach, please. How about that? This was the least graphic of the pictures I chose to use. But how about this? What do I have to be thankful for? Woe is me. My whole life stinks. The whole world's out to get me. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. How about this? Next slide, please, Zach. Because of that last slide, you will never spend one moment here in a lake of fire. And listen, once you're here, you ain't never getting out. You want to have something to be thankful for? How about that God loved you so much that He sent His Son to hang on that cross so that you would never have to go here? Because here's what we deserved. Once Adam and Eve blew it in the Garden of Eden, and listen, don't blame Adam and Eve. Every one of us would have done the same thing. Every one of us. There's only one way back. God had to massacre His Son. You want to be thankful for something? When you're sitting down to eat Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday, don't forget to thank God for that, because He saved us from this. Romans 5:8. But God shows His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How about this? Thank you, God, that I didn't have to straighten up this mess of my life before You chose to love me. Thank you, God, that I didn't have to fix my past before You loved me. Thank you, God, that I didn't have to fix all the mistakes I've made in my life before you loved me. Thank you, God, that I don't have to do anything for you to love me. How about that? Think that's worth being thankful for? Do we love God? Do we love Jesus? The Bible says if you do, you'll be in a constant state of thanksgiving to God. Ephesians 5:20. Give thanks when? When you feel like it? Always. And in some situations, and for everything, to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When are we to give thanks to God? When we're having a good day? What does it say? Always. Could there be any better way? Listen, anybody in here that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Could there be any better way to celebrate Thanksgiving than to giving your life to Christ and entering into life that never ends? And when you do that, that picture of the lake of fire, you'll never see it. Never. But if you don't, that's where you're going to spend eternity. Now, a lot of people don't believe that. That's okay. But listen, what we believe doesn't determine what's real. It's real whether we believe it or not. Okay? If I believe it's true and you believe it's not true, only one of us could be right, even though we both believe in a different way. But neither of our belief systems change reality. You could believe you could jump off this roof and fly. But if you go up and jump off this roof, gravity is going to prove you wrong. Believing you can fly doesn't change the fact that you can't fly. The same thing with eternity. You don't have to believe in heaven and hell, Jesus and Satan, but that doesn't change the fact of their existence. Listen, Jesus loves you guys. Listen, Jesus loves you guys. That's the hardest thing for a pastor to get congregations to believe and to understand. Jesus loves you guys. We've said this before. He doesn't love you guys. He loves you, and he loves you, and he loves you, and he loves you. He loves you guys. If you don't know Jesus and you'd like to, this is the time to come forward and get right with the Lord who created you and created you in such marvelous, amazing ways. This is your chance to get right with Christ. Thanks, Deb. I'm going to show you guys something.